The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Now presenting Fig and Ford in the Case of the Greater Gatsby, Episode 24, Closing Time. Written and created by Sean Prasad and Sinead Prasad.
What are you two whispering about over there? Come on back in here and tell me if this course is any good.
Fig and I stood in the doorway of Leary O'Shaughnessy's dressing room. Neither of us wanted to make the first move. We were frozen in something that felt a lot like fear.
Personally, I'd say it was actual fear. We just witnessed the snap of Leary's guitar string. That was what he'd used at first to try and strangle F. Scott Fitzgerald. He no longer had the co-worker necklace from Wilhelmina. That was the real murder weapon. Say, Leary, you'll be here later, right? Wouldn't want to miss out on hearing your song, but we have to rush to another meeting.
Well, sure thing, doll. Say, I do hope you get another role in a Hammermeister film. It's been such a pleasure working with you.
We raced out of Leary's dressing room and ducked into Willie's in the next building over.
How could I have been so oblivious? Leary O'Shaughnessy. He was right under my nose this whole time. And before you start yapping about how distracted I've been, save it. I know the drill.
Yeah, about that. I probably laid it on a little too thick.
Whoa. Was that an apology?
Look, they're not my strong suit, so zip it. I think there's something about this industry that I miss, as crazy as it sounds. Maybe that's why I haven't packed up and moved to a cabin in Montana. Just can't quit this town. And maybe I'm mad at myself for not being able to love it completely. And maybe seeing you embrace it made me upset. And maybe I know how quick the Hollywood dream can turn into a nightmare, and so maybe I was scared you'd turn out the same as me.
Wow. An apology and an admission that you care about me. And a lot of other stuff that you should probably see a therapist about. Well, if we're just slinging around apologies, I probably owe you one, too. You may not realize this, but I think pretty highly of myself.
No, I realize that.
And I guess I thought I'd be able to give the PI work my full attention, while also moonlighting on set as Willie's bodyguard. And maybe I got caught up in the glitz and glamour a little too much. Maybe I liked it. But you're right. You're right, Ford. It's all lies. And my job, our job, is the truth. I'm sorry.
Apology accepted.
Oh, you guys. That was so beautiful.
Why didn't you say
something? Jesus, Willie.
Sometimes I just like to be really still and quiet. Go to a different place. Empty my mind.
Doesn't seem like a big ask for you.
Sounds like you're meditating.
Oh, no. I only take painkillers when I have a really bad headache.
Anyway, what's our next move with Leary?
It's all clicking into place. Sheila Graham had been having trouble with someone lately, right? It was all over the tapes. Someone she wanted to avoid. Unsolicited affection. A stalker. It was Leary. That's why he wasn't invited to the holiday party. Plus, according to Cliff and Willie, Leary was the one to show Fitzgerald out after his outburst. Did he find out about Mel and Sheila that night, too?
And that song he was just singing. My true love's got a new apple of her eye. I dream of putting them out of sight.
If Leary's the killer... That little slant rhyme couplet seems to indicate that Mel Hammermeister could be next on his kill list.
I'd prefer to see Mel behind bars than under a tombstone. Let's go. We hightailed it to Mel's office on the other side of the lot, Fig still in her bunny outfit.
Okay, now it seems silly. You didn't need to put that in there.
Just trying to be accurate. Mel had banned us from the studio, and there was no telling what she'd do once she saw us, but I didn't care. I may regard Mel as a no-goodnik of the highest caliber, but if her life was in danger, it was our responsibility to try to warn her.
Mel? Mel, you in here?
She's gone. Lit cigar in her ashtray, though. She's not far.
Well, we should probably wait here, then.
All right. If Leary murdered F. Scott Fitzgerald because of Sheila, then why would he send threatening letters to half of Los Angeles?
Hollywood is mired in a blizzard blacker than the one in the Grapes of Wrath. A real dust bowl of fear and despair. All because some guy was in love with some girl who didn't like him?
Certainly doesn't seem out of character for someone like that. But still, it's a lot of work when you've already removed the obstacle standing in your way.
Well, one of them. Why not just target Mel immediately? Why menace the entire town? Why sabotage his own film?
Trash pickup coming through. Don't mind me. Just keep... Wait! Fig? Ford? What are you guys doing here? Ford, where the hell is your bunny costume?
Oh, it's on the Pirate's Daughter set.
Jackrabbit Stew, you know how long I worked on that thing? Now I gotta go track it down. Also, what are you doing in here? Mel's gonna bust an artery when she sees ya. Ah, crap, I can't be here when she comes back. She might fire me just for associating with ya. Give me that wastebasket.
Sure. Here.
Ah, crap. I said hand it over, not drop it on the ground like a greasy palm dummy, a greasy palm dummy.
Sorry, I'm still sweaty from that bunny costume.
Ford and I joined Penny on the floor, cleaning up the trash that had spilled out. Half-smoked cigars, crumpled up pages from a... Was she writing a script herself? A couple of pencils, surely broken in a rage, and... Wait a minute. Ford, this look familiar?
Those are menus. From Schwab's.
With letters cut out.
All right, good enough. Don't put those back in the trash when you're done. I gotta get through the rest of the executive offices before my shift is animal wrangler on Biscuit's big day. They fired Archibald Maitland. Can you believe it? The guy's a legend.
Yeah, see you around, Penny.
These menus. The letters match the letters on the death threat you got.
Actually, they seem very familiar. Dollars to donuts. I've seen this E and this W in some of the other threats.
And you said Schwab's is Mel's favorite restaurant.
Oh, it's TD's favorite, too.
We turned to see Mel standing in the doorway. Maybe the most calm I'd ever seen her. She slowly closed the door behind her.
You left the limelight, the glitz, the glamour, the money. For this? To root around other people's garbage?
Well, when it comes to you, the garbage is in plain sight.
And for what? You think this is gonna change anything? You think anything you've done here is gonna matter? What matters is what I say matters.
Why'd you do it? Why terrorize your own industry with anonymous threats?
Because my industry needed to wake up. Every movie that comes out these days is based on a book, or a play, or a musical, or a short story, or a sequel. Why do I need to see Rebecca? I already read it. I didn't really care when Roger gambled away the rights to that one, but Horace Beanslot sure did, so we had to make sure he went away for a while.
But people love this stuff. The buzz on Philadelphia Story is through the roof. Pinocchio and Gone with the Wind were last year's biggest movies. Both adaptations. Why try to bankrupt your own business?
It's already bankrupt. Artistically bankrupt. No one's gonna remember those movies in 100 years. Why should they? They already existed. Why make a copy of it? What we need is to make exciting, original pictures. Something fresh, something new, something that gets people's minds churning and hearts bubbling. Something to turn our culture into more than just a bunch of brainwashed, glaze-eyed nitwits eating the same can of refried beans over and over. But you're right. These insidious adaptations do well for our bottom line. I had to figure out another way.
Another way to sabotage your own work? Maybe by turning your adaptation of a grim, realistic story like The Grapes of Wrath into a tap-dancing musical and setting it in a time period that makes no earthly sense?
Yep.
And maybe by hiring a writer and director who had a long-standing feud over a love affair?
Oh, yeah.
And when that didn't work out, firing the original writer and replacing him with a literal child?
Oh, that was so smart of me.
And then by exploiting that writer's death and reframing it as the opening salvo of a madman threatening to destroy the lives of anyone and everyone working on a movie adaptation?
And it worked. Every one of our pictures right now is an original. I even got Barnaby to cut back on the negative reviews in his paper. It's funny. People don't know what they want, what they really need. You gotta give them a little push.
So you knew about Leary?
Honey, I not only knew Leary killed F. Scott, I covered it up. Leary's my biggest star. I've told Sheila for years not to run any hit pieces on him, despite the fact that she very much wanted to. I have to keep my stars squeaky clean. Can't have my number one involved in a murder. Horace may have had to shut the whole place down.
And that's where Mo Beats comes in.
Leary came back to my house after what he'd done. Sheila and T.D. didn't wake up, thankfully. Told me he'd gone to confront Scott about Sheila, ask him to leave her. Scott said no, and that O'Shaughnessy rage boiled up to the surface. I guess he tried it with the guitar string, but it snapped.
So he finished the job with Willie's necklace.
Mel reached into her drawer and pulled out the necklace, still intact, with one bead caught in the threads. A bead with the letter L.
I called Mo and had him head down there, stage the scene for the next morning, collect all these damn beads. He had spelled Eerie O'Shaughnessy, and he was looking around for an hour before he realized the L was still on the necklace. Oh boy, he was mad when he called me to let me know about that.
You claimed to love Sheila, and you were going to keep the truth about Fitzgerald from her?
She was better off, without him and without knowing what happened.
For a second, Mel seemed almost sad, gazing at the necklace in her hand. Maybe the crushing consequences of all of her actions had just hit her at once. But then she snapped out of it and tossed the necklace into the fire.
No!
Probably should have done that a while ago.
We're gonna get you. We're gonna tell everyone you and Leary are going to jail.
Nah. I like your gumption, kid, but you got no real evidence, and I got all the people who would listen to you on my Christmas card list. Leary will be fine. I'll be fine. The only other person who knows about the letters is T.D., since he helped me deliver them. But I don't think he'd do anything to upset his loving wife. Plus, I got what I wanted, so the letters will stop.
There's got to be a way. We've got pictures of the wound. We've got Citizen Jasper Fox and Hypatia Huxley saying they were intimidated by Mo Beats. Ford, right?
I looked at Fig and slumped my shoulders. I knew Mel had won, and I just wanted to slink away.
You got that on record? No, I'm guessing. And congrats on your picture. That's great. Proves there was a murder. That works out, since Mo Beats found your friend Claudette's evidence stash. He called right before you got here. Heard Barnaby threatening Scotty for sleeping with his wife. And they found that tie clip. Strange what jealousy will do to a man.
All right, Mel. You may get away with it this time, but you've got a rotten soul, and pretty soon it's going to catch up to you. And when it does, I'll visit you in prison.
Well, until then, Forty Pooh, you keep fighting the good fight. But as for now, I might have you arrested for trespassing.
Now presenting a thrilling true tale of deceit, brought to you by Hammermeister Studios, Jackfruit and Brick, and The Case of the Poisoned Pen, starring Cliff Calloway, Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky, Juniper Wetblossom, and Leary O'Shaughnessy, a noir marvel for the modern age.
8 months later, Fig and I sat inside the darkened Vista Theater, watching the premiere of Mel Hammermeister's latest hit, Jackfruit and Brick, and The Case of the Poisoned Pen. I didn't feel the need to witness a dark chapter of my life play out on the silver screen, but Fig wanted to support Cliff and Willie and also had a brand new power suit to flaunt. I'll admit, as the credits began to play over a static image of the Hollywoodland sign, I was eager to see how Hammermeister Studios and Whitley Truffle House had decided to distill the entire debacle of F. Scott Fitzgerald's case into a single film.
Quiet! Your internal monologue is distracting.
It's just the opening credits.
Yeah, but I know how hard everyone works on a set now, so they deserve reverence. Look, there's Penny's name for the third time.
The image of Hollywoodland cross-faded into a set that was the spitting image of our office. Juniper Wetblossom as Jackfruit Rumpunch, reporter-turned PI, and Cliff Calloway as Brick Hardfist sat playing and drinking gin rummy.
Mr. Hardfist, terrible has happened.
After the credits rolled, we made it past the velvet ropes to the after party, as Willie and Cliff's plus ones. Roger had sent Willie a giant bouquet of flowers from prison, and she insisted on holding them right in front of her face, so everyone just thought she was a potted plant. People kept pouring their drinks on her.
What did you think of the movie? Did I get Vivian's voice right?
Unfortunately, you don't have the soul of a sinister siren. No one could ever play her. Not as well as she played me.
I must say, it was nerve-wracking trying to get your ornery gait down, Ford. I went very method. Not sleeping, being abrasive on the phone, falling asleep in bars.
Yeah, got it. You did great, Cliff. And wow, getting Donald Ogden Stewart to write a film about the murder of F. Scott Fitzgerald? The guy must be rolling in his grave.
I hope you're not mad at us for being in the picture.
Of course not. A job's a job. Plus, I know you're contractually obligated.
Enjoy the party. I have to go take photos.
Willie ran off to be the movie star that she was. Someone enveloped me in a bear hug, and I sloshed my drink down my front. Dang it, Whitley.
Ah, sorry, so sorry, just incredibly excited! Movies are back! And I needed to tell you that I wanted to offer you the part of Winifred Waterpolo, the airheaded ingenue, but Mel wouldn't have it. What happened between you two?
Creative differences. It's all right, really. Judy Garland was great in the role.
Wasn't she? Oh, there she is! Judy!
And he's off.
Cigar? Cigarette? Fig? Ford?
Dash, gunfire, cigarette girl. Feels right.
I'm actually undercover. Don't tell.
Who you working for this time?
Great question. If I remember, I'll tell you. Say, don't you think it's kind of strange that they made my character a dog in the movie?
Seemed apropos to me.
Apropos, is that a legal thing? Had to turn me into a dog because I'm too handsome? Couldn't outshine the lead actor? Okay, I get it now. In fact, I'm good with it. I'll sign off on it. Where do I sign?
Dash, the movie was already made.
Here, sign my napkin. That'll keep it all above board.
You got it, Mr. Calloway. I'll put this with all my other documents.
Okay, but why are you doing air quotes around the word documents?
Fig! Ford, you came!
Hey, Penny. I didn't want to support this inaccurate drivel, but it's important to keep abreast of the portrayals of yourself in the media.
You! You're the pretty lady from the Christmas party I went to.
You! You're that terrible but devilishly handsome sommelier.
Say, would you want to get married sometime?
Where's the ring?
Dash took a cigarette from his tray and dunked it in the champagne glass of an unsuspecting nearby partygoer to soften it up. Flinging alcohol all over us, he quickly fashioned it into a ring and got down on one knee in the middle of the party.
I accept! Hey, everyone! I'm getting married! Now I can add wife to my list of jobs.
She said yes! Hey, Ford.
Oh, no.
Will you
no.
be my
no.
best
Nuh-uh.
man?
Sure.
Woo!
Don't look now, but here comes our favorite criminal studio head and her thieving husband. Oh, and look, they've got Sheila in tow. Wonder how this arrangement is working out.
Hello, detectives.
Didn't think you'd show your faces tonight.
Didn't think he would either.
Ford nodded over to Leary O'Shaughnessy, who sipped his drink and casually chatted with Horace Beanslot. He should have been rotting away in a jail cell, but instead here he was, hobnobbing with the rich and famous like nothing had ever happened. Like he hadn't taken an innocent object and ended the life of one of America's greatest writers.
Why the hell wouldn't Leary be here? He's the deus ex machina hero of the movie. That part where the detectives realize the killer is the devious newspaper magnate and he attacks them in their office. Oh, they'd be dead if it weren't for the savvy actor who came by to make sure they were okay and tackled him before he could strike.
That was my favorite part of the film.
Felt too easy to me. Almost like the filmmakers were just making things up.
That's all any of us do, Ford Phillips. Say, so sorry to hear you got kicked out of your office.
Well, when you got Horace Beanslot to buy the entire building, we figured our eviction wasn't far behind. At least you had to replace the door.
It was a fittingly vindictive going-away present, former boss lady. Now don't mind us as we continue to abuse the open bar. Money's tight these days.
Yes, well, good seeing you. Drop by for tea sometime. And thanks again for helping to avenge Scotty. I know things were complicated between us, but I did love him.
Yeah, we know.
As Sheila and Mel walked off together, it seemed clear that Mel had never come clean about what went down. That F. Scott Fitzgerald was killed because Leary loved Sheila so much. Maybe that was her covering her tracks, or maybe it was a small mercy to spare Sheila any guilt. Either way, it was just another lie. Added to the pile that this city was built on.
Excuse me, are you doing an internal monologue?
What's the point of these if everyone knows I'm doing them?
Oh goodness, I see Eugene Punch Whistle over there. I better go rub his elbow. We're working on a very special secret project together.
As TD ran off to meet up with his new best friend to discuss what was almost certainly door theft, Leary O'Shaughnessy made his way over to us sheepishly. It took everything in my power not to throw my Manhattan on him.
We don't have anything to say to you.
I just wanted you both to know that I'm real sorry. This isn't how I wanted it all to go.
Then why don't you come clean?
I'm just not that brave. And Mel stuck her neck out for me. She'd be finished too if I did. And then the whole studio would go kaput. Hundreds of people out of work.
All that and you didn't even get the girl.
Well, at least Sheila's with someone who really loves her.
Juniper Wet Blossom and Darby Farnsworth spotted Leary from the crowd and made a beeline toward us.
Leary, Fig and Fort. Sorry I'm late. Had to do an outfit change. If I'm not covered in sequins at an after party, then I'm not living.
Oh, Leary, you were so fabulous.
I can't believe it went down like that. That newspaper man is such a snake. You're a hero, Leary.
A hero. Keep telling yourself that.
As Juniper continued to heap praise on Leary, we were saved by two people cutting through the crowd toward us.
Fig, Fort!
Dorothy, Donald, real sorry to hear about the brigade disbanding.
It's for the best. It was an amateurish attempt at a salon that turned into something no better than a child's treehouse club. And caused significantly more trouble.
Well, Mr. Phillips, Miss Weinshine, how did I do? I hope I maintained as much accuracy and integrity as possible in the telling of the story.
Don, you may have taken a few liberties.
Can't be helped in this town. We're lucky anything gets made at all.
Seems kind of gruesome to have to watch a fictionalized retelling of the murder of one of your best friends.
It is what it is, Fruit Fly. I like to think Scotty is looking down on all this with a glimmer in his eye. He's become the proverbial Gatsby floating dead in the pool. An iconic, inscrutable life cut short. A spectacle that shocked his circle and rippled out to the far corners of his West End. I think he takes solace in his story being unknowable.
And maybe he's found his green light across the water.
I think ours is waiting for us down the street. Good seeing you both. Stay safe and take care.
Ford and I hightailed it a couple blocks north and stepped into the warm, velvety embrace of a bustling Bixby's Lounge under new management. Or should I say, old management.
Why, if it isn't my favorite two detectives that were forced to sign their life rights away to avoid prosecution for trespassing at Hammermeister Studios so that Mel could make a movie about them, Ford Phillips and Fig Weinshine.
Howdy, Bix.
Will you two be working tonight? The back room is all yours if you need it.
Not tonight. Tonight, we celebrate.
Claudette here yet?
Right behind you.
Well, how was it?
The final hearing was a success.
This calls for some shots.
In the wake of our showdown with Mel, everything seemed to be coming up Mo Beats. He was running Bixby's, he had made detective, and his discovery of Claudette's secret evidence, the exact evidence she was trying to hide from him, had made the case against Barnaby. But the reveal that the death of F. Scott was a murder and not, in fact, a heart attack, shined a spotlight on the officer who had arrived on the scene the morning of December 21st, 1940. An officer who also happened to be Mo Beats.
When the internal investigation revealed Mo's cover-up, Claudette was the one who was being praised for cracking the case, and Mo was placed on indefinite leave, with all of his previous cases reopened, and ownership of Bixby's Lounge returned to its namesake. Months of hearings to decide the final fate of Mo Beats had concluded today.
Mo Beats is no longer a member of the Los Angeles Police Department.
To Detective Claudette Knickerbocker.
Cheers!
Well, well, well. Speak of the devil. Mo Beats.
Evening, all.
They'll just let anyone in here, huh?
You finally get kicked off the force, and this is where you come? Do you have any shame?
To be honest, I could use a drink. And I like the dirty Shirley's here.
Bixby, you really gonna serve this clown?
His money spends just as well as anyone else's, even if he is just a civilian.
Well then, one dirty Shirley, and throw in an extra twig.
Some nerve of you to show your face here, Maurice.
Just don't want you to forget what it looks like, Ford. Cause you haven't seen the last of it. See you around.
Good riddance.
I'm glad something good came of this whole mess.
The fuzz in this town just got a lot more trustworthy, that's for sure.
I'll start working on a way to get Barnaby out of prison. I'm sure with Mo handling so much of that case, there were holes everywhere.
But why would you want to spring a murderer from prison?
Oh, good grief.
We all turned to see Vivian slinking out of the shadows in a red sequin dress and black gloves, no doubt looking to stir up trouble before she took the stage.
We don't want to spring a murderer from prison. We want to spring an innocent man.
But all the evidence points to Barnaby. After all, I was there that night, and I did see my husband's car outside.
Right, you testified as much. But we all know how you like to bend the truth.
And then there's the matter of the tie clip.
That house had been combed through multiple times. The tie clip was planted by someone right before we found it, and I have an idea who did it.
Are you implying that I planted it? And that I didn't actually see Barnaby's car that night? And that I maliciously lied about Barnaby's knowledge of the affair? Because I recall that after your investigation led to the arrest and incarceration of my husband, I paid you in full for the job.
Your ex-husband. The murder charge and prison sentence landed you the divorce you wanted. We've seen your prenup. This whole thing was just your way of securing the bag while ditching the husband. A good man who loved you, for some reason.
For a couple of people who seem to think I'm no good, you sure seem copacetic with keeping my money. If you're calling me a liar, I might have to ask for it back. Wouldn't want that, would you? That's what I thought. Well, see you lot later. And congratulations, Detective Knickerbocker. I'll have to buy you a drink.
If you think you can buy me as easily as you bought Mo Beats, you're dumber than you look, lady.
Feisty. I like it. Bixby, their next round is on me.
Well, if she's paying.
I'm drinking.
How about a little champagne?
Yes, I think so.
Sounds good to me.
To taking out the trash at the LAPD.
To clearing my best gal's name and reuniting some long-lost triplets.
To finally figuring out what that plotline was about. To choosing to fight on in the face of long odds and insurmountable corruption. And to opening ourselves up to whatever comes next. After all, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
I got home that night and prepared to wind down. After four drinks, the prospect of waking up early tomorrow wasn't too welcoming. But it didn't matter. I knew I had a lot to do. New cases, new responsibilities, and I would need to figure out how to poke enough holes in the state's case against... Wait a minute. Broken glass? Someone broke the window. All right, Claudette, don't panic. Just reach into your bag and grab your...
Don't even think of touching your gun. You...
Shipwrecked Comedy presents The Case of the Greater Gatsby, written and directed by Sean Persaud and Sinead Persaud. Featuring Carlos Alizraki as Leary O'Shaughnessy, Sean Persaud as Ford Phillips, Sinead Persaud as Fig Weinschein, Lauren Lopez as Penny Nickelpenny, Matthew Mercer as Mo Beats, Parvesh Chena as Whitley Trufflehouse, Leslie Margarita as Mel Hammermeister, William Joseph Stribling as The Announcer, Sarah Grace Hart as Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky, Tom DeTrinis as Cliff Calloway, Joey Richter as Dash Gunfire, Blake Silver as T.D. Hammermeister, Julia Cho as Sheila Graham, Christina Ariel as Juniper Wetblossom, Ginny D. as Darby Farnsworth, Whitney Avalon as Dorothy Parker, Dylan Saunders as Donald Ogden Stewart, Dante Swain as Bixby Crane, Joanna Sotomura as Claudette Knickerbocker, Mary Kate Wiles as Vivian Nightingale, and Ben Giroux as The Mysterious Voice. Original music by Dylan Glathorn. Audio recording by Noah Hunt Audio. Mixing and sound design by Lizzie Goldsmith. Executive producers Paul Komorowski and Michael Walsh. Produced by Mary Kate Wiles, Sarah Grace Hart, Sinead Persaud, and Sean Persaud. Special thanks to Kickstarter backers Katie Adamczyk, Allie Brown, Zainab Khan, Xiaoxi Kuo, Jane Leach, Avalee Long, Liesl Perrine, Halsey Root, The Rude Mechanicals, Heather Tennant, and Justin Waterman. Please rate and review the show wherever you listen. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/shipwreckedcomedy to receive early access to new episodes and other bonus content, and to support us making this show. Visit Shipwrecked Comedy on YouTube to view the prequel film for this series, The Case of the Gilded Lily, or many of our other projects. Thank you very much for listening to and supporting this original, independent audio narrative series.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.